Well, it was just a year or two ago when we had the likes of George Clooney, Ryan Gosling, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Gerard Butler, Hugh Jackman, James Franco, Mila Kunis, Michelle Williams, and so many more stars all shooting films and TV shows all around Michigan. That was when Michigan offered subsidies for film and television production that were, at least for a while, the very best in the entire nation. But Governor Rick Snyder came into office arguing those generous production tax incentives were just not viable for our struggling state. The incentives program went from being uncapped to a $25 million cap for fiscal 2012. And with that, the tidal wave of film and TV production coming into Michigan slowed to a trickle. Peter Carey is a Michigan-based actor who'd managed to rack up parts in many productions in 2011, including the major DreamWorks film Real Steel, starring Hugh Jackman. Peter, in 2009, the subsidy program kicked in. What happened in terms of job opportunities and auditions for you when it was that uncapped huge subsidy?
Somebody opened the floodgates for work, and this town went crazy. Not just this town, but the state of Michigan, because we had, as you mentioned, the largest film incentive program in the country. Jump back a little bit to Governor Granholm talking about how can we get business to come in. And the interesting thing about the film industry is they're like an army. And I don't mean that in a negative way. What I mean it is they are able to come in en masse and really establish themselves and get things up and running instantly because they bring everything with them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want them to stay, you start to supply infrastructure, and they'll stay. So Governor Granholm and her film committee said, how can we make this the best? 42% across the board. Wow. And did it work? Yes. The floodgates opened. And we could talk about details, but from my personal perspective, prior to the film incentives, I probably did two feature films here in Michigan.
Right.
Over, gosh.
Many, many, many years, right?
That would be over 8 years.
All right.
And then in the 2 years alone that the film incentives were rolling, I did 15. And here's an example. Masonic Temple, beautiful facility. Mm-hmm. Hollywood came in and they said, wow, this is incredible. We can use this. Detroit and Michigan is just a plethora of these wonderful locations, and Hollywood fell in love, and they came running. And that's why we had so many movies here, because we're kind of like an undiscovered gem, and they couldn't believe it.
And an eager workforce as well.
Yes, a very eager workforce, and a workforce who was used to labor, which is, it's hard work on a movie set. Mm-hmm. It really is. All we hear about are the stars who are in their trailers getting pampered. But the real guts of the thing are the hard workers, the grips, the gaffers, the crew that really get down there and do it. So going back to Masonic Temple, I bring that up because here's this beautiful facility, just this historic piece of wonderful backdrops. And Hollywood fell in love. I was there doing a movie, and you got on the elevator, and there were floors marked off, five different feature films shooting at one time.
Wow.
And they brought a lot of money. They brought a lot of support. And the thing about a film crew is they make it right. Meaning, if it doesn't look right, they'll say, well, let's fix this. They were going into locations that had poor electricity, other buildings, and saying, we want to use this for our location. Mm. They would put new infrastructure in. They'd put electricity. They'd put a roof on it. They'd fix it up at their expense. And then people they didn't understand. You know?
Then, because we get a new governor with some new priorities and new goals, and that tax credit goes to a $25 million cap. And for you?
Well, they took the wind out of the sails. They pulled the rug out. The door slammed. Literally, people were scared. And that's the thing about the film industry. Just like any other business, if they're going to invest, they need to have security. And we took that away. And they were getting mixed messages. You had a new governor that said, we're open for business. We want to be business friendly. But yet you had an industry here that was rolling along, and they said, yeah, we're open to business, but not really you.
Okay. And critics said that really the state was not getting the financial bang for those tax credit bucks. But how did it seem to you on the inside of that situation?
Well, people will say I'm biased because I had positive effects. Yes, it was good for us, but it was also good for communities. And like you said, the critics were poo-pooing it, and there was the Ernst & Young study that said we were getting $6 back in economic activity for every $1.
From the multiplier effect, from all the extra, yes.
And we could argue this till we're blue in the face, but let's use an example of New York. New York now has set aside $220 million for 5 years. Well, that's over $1 billion to bring activity in. Has it worked? Oh, yeah.
Atlanta has stepped up,
Georgia, Louisiana has made their film tax credits permanent. And Georgia is trying to do that. Tyler Perry came in and built his whole studio complex there in Georgia, trying to say now, okay, let's make the tax incentives permanent. New York is at a 30% incentive, and now they've upped that to the post incentive. Now, when you say post, well, it's post-production. Sure, you shoot the movie, but then there's all the post-production work that goes on. You can get 30% back in New York for that work, too. So if you shoot your movie someplace else and you bring the post-work into New York, you still get 30% back.
Let me ask you, do you think that had the incentives program not been scaled back, would Michigan's film industry have become viable enough to get by with fewer incentives or to been able to ultimately phase the incentives out?
That was the plan from the beginning.
Yeah.
It was originally intended for 5 years. Give us 5 years. Let us build it. Let us get this baby rolling, and then we'll adjust. And I don't think you'll find anybody in our industry that didn't think it needed to be adjusted. Because 42% got everybody's attention.
Sure.
I mean, they came banging on our door. They couldn't get here fast enough. But that's what Governor Granholm said. Let's make it the most eye-opening thing we can. And it was wonderful.
Almost like a fire sale. Let's get them in.
Exactly.
Get them into the store.
Exactly. And they came running. Now, yes, it was originally intended for 5 years. Did it need to be adjusted over those years? Of course. But you don't. You don't pull the rug out from everybody and just say, sorry, we're open for business, but not that much.
Now, this coming fiscal year, there's $58 million available, so it's a fatter pot. What do you think will come from that?
Well, I'll be honest with
you. Any more interest?
It does. The $25 million was there last year, and that's a blip on the radar.
Okay. $8 million of that went unclaimed, because I guess a production did not happen that was going to come
exactly.
In. So now we have $58
million. Yeah, they'll roll that over.
Mm-hmm.
The $50 million, it sounds good, but it's a one-time appropriation. They don't think it'll be renewed. So they came up with a little extra money, and they said, okay, we'll throw another $25 million here. It's enticing, but is it a ball player? I mean, are you really in the game to play? No, not with New York, not with Louisiana, not with Georgia, not with South Carolina. Puerto Rico has incentives. Alaska has incentives. And they're serious about it because they see what happens. And California, Hollywood, the base of it all, they're struggling because they see runaway production. Because states, there are 40-plus states that offer incentives.
Now, I did hear an argument pretty persistently that, well, they're bringing their own people in. They're bringing people in from California, and they're going to just leave. So,
good point. Good point. At that point, we had people here willing to work, but we didn't know exactly how they wanted to work. So we were up and coming. We were in training. You saw people apprenticing that were Michigan residents. Now that the incentives are gone, the people that were trained here in Michigan are now at the helm of films in California, in Canada, in Louisiana. I know some excellent people here who were trained and got really good, and now she's living in Louisiana, and she sends notes to her family. Oh, I wish this still could be Michigan. I wish we could be together.
And you also see the economic hole sucked in the Pontiac area, where what used to be Raleigh Studios, where Oz the Great and Powerful was bustling a year ago, and it's a ghost town today, and it's not even Raleigh Studios anymore, is it?
That's true. That's true. Raleigh has pulled out. It's an unbelievable facility because they made it state of the art. Raleigh does things right. They had great investors here in Michigan, and they wanted to make it top line. What happened was they took information that they'd learned from the auto industry. You know, the large stamping plants where they have all this vibration and noise. Well, there was a technique to silence the floors with compacted sand. They applied that to the movie studio. And so executives were coming going, I can't believe how quiet it is here. This is incredible. So there was a lot of cutting-edge technology, a lot of state-of-the-art science applied to that. And here is this facility that now is underutilized, to say the least.
Yeah, I happened to be out there for something, and it did have that tumbleweeds in the hallway look to it.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, where do you see Michigan's film industry, where it stands, where things stand right now? Where do you see it in 5 years?
That's an excellent question. Mm-hmm. I say that because we have an incredible creative community here. We have guts and glory, and they're really Detroiters, Michiganders, they're fighters. They love it, and they're very passionate, and they love their state, and I think we'll prevail as a state, but as far as the industry is concerned, you have to make a decision. Do you want to be a top player, or do you just want to be somebody with tumbleweeds blowing through your studio? We could have more studios, but you got to bring it. You got to let them know that we are open for business and we're welcoming.
And you're not hearing that. What kind of response would you and other representatives of the industry get when you would try to talk to policymakers in Lansing?
I have been invited to speak only because I'm just another person who's impacted by it.
Mm-hmm.
I love the industry. I love a creative world, and it's one of the most creative outlets you can do. And we go to movies for recreation, for relaxation, for fun. It's a part of our lives. And everybody says, okay, well, film incentives are about the fat cats, the stars, and the big movie executives who don't need the money. It really isn't. It's not about fat cats. It actually costs a state money when people aren't working. And we have so many people here that were diving into the film industry because it was ready-made for them. And we slammed that door.
And you weren't able to sell that message in Lansing.
Well, we we came with passion, and then so we got the $25 million, and now this year they're throwing the bone of the mm-hmm. $50 million. But the scary thing is, like I said, is it's a one-time appropriation, and you have to go and ask for it every year again. You have to beg for the film incentives, whereas other states and countries have said, we are serious. This is permanent. We're here for you. You got to be real, you know?
Peter Carey, thank you for talking with us. Tomorrow on Stateside, we're going to continue our look at Michigan's film industry as we talk with Carrie Jones. She is the executive director of the Michigan Film Office.